2011 is the International Year of Chemistry, a global celebration of chemistry and the ways research in this field have benefited humankind, with the theme Chemistry, Our Life, Our Future. And one place the path of chemistry is being paved is the Diamond Synchrotron, where everything from designer molecules, pitting corrosion and solar cells are being investigated. Diamond's Director of Physical Sciences, Trevor Raymond, explains the importance of this versatile subject.
As a chemist, by passion and by background over many years, you won't be surprised if I say that I think it's the central science. It's the science that so many other topics interface to, and without which they wouldn't succeed. So I think of it spanning into physics, where high-temperature superconductors came out of a chemistry background, solid-state chemistry. I think of biology. Chemists are the people who actually make the molecules that go to form drugs. Oh, there are all sorts of areas, such as catalysis, the clean cars, new sources of energy. In all of those cases, a knowledge of chemistry is vital. And in fact, chemistry makes so many of these things possible. So perhaps you can see that I'm biased, but actually I think it's a great subject and it's central to so many other subjects.
And your own research within all of this is the use of chemistry, I guess, and its role towards the field of materials science.
Yes, I've been working on methods for many years that look at materials under their real operating conditions, looking at their surface chemistry. And what I'm doing at the moment is working with a close colleague in Birmingham, Alison Davenport, to use those skills to look at corroding layers, to look at pitting corrosion, where little black dots in stainless steel corrode. It's quite an important form of corrosion. Looking at the chemistry of those corroding pits.
And what have you been able to find out about them, I guess, so far? And is it then the aim to kind of prevent this occurring?
What we've learned is that the chemistry at the bottom of these corroding pits is important. And for the first time, we've identified the compounds, chemical compounds that are found at the bottom of a corroding pit. And now what we've discovered, or it's Alison's group has really discovered, is how that chemistry influences the rate of corrosion. Often it's very difficult to prevent corrosion, and so what you really want to understand is how long will it be before it gets really important? And that's where the work is progressing. It's taking the insights that we get from chemistry to predict the lifetime of a device, the lifetime of, for example, a canister that might store radioactive waste. The data that we're providing, Alison's group are providing, is allowing us to have really good models of how they might corrode over a period of a decade, 20 years, 10,000 years.
Now, you did mention that chemistry stems into a whole variety of fields, such as biochemistry and physics as well. So what perhaps is some of the more current research taking place here at Diamond that stems into these areas?
I think I'd like to point out two areas. One is the general field of energy. There is, as everyone knows, a real pressing need to reduce the amount of energy that we use and reduce the impact of our industrial processes on the environment that we live in. So if we think about energy itself, then we might think about hydrogen storage. There has been a great deal of work over many years to improve methods for storing hydrogen. And one of the favoured topics at the moment, one of the favoured areas, is the so-called metal-organic frameworks. Central to all of this is designing frameworks of molecules that will absorb hydrogen. And it turns out that the synchrotron is the ideal place to determine the structure of these complex materials. On the other hand, there's a lot of interest in designing solar cells. We're all familiar with solar cells now on roofs. They're made of silicon and they're very good, but silicon is an expensive material. It uses quite a lot of energy to process it. And the thought has been, can we make lighter weight, cheaper solar cells made of polymers, plastics? And what matters there is knowing the structure and the behavior of those layers, which are very thin, studying that and determining that. And synchrotrons are ideal for that.
Now, that work's done by David Lidsey, who we've had on the podcast in the past. And I think an interesting thing with that particular research was that although the efficiency may not be as great as silicon photovoltaics, the fact that they're cheaper and also more flexible and have perhaps a wider array of uses means that they're quite important.
If you're trying to create new energy sources, then ultimately you have to compete with other sources on economic terms. And into that equation comes lots of things like the original cost, the efficiency, ease of installation. So it's really quite complicated. And into an environment like that, having control of the chemistry is really important.
And so you've touched on these areas that chemistry kind of stems into, but what about, I guess, more fundamental chemistry that's looked into here?
Another area that stems out of the control that chemists have over the shape of molecules is the notion that if you take a small molecule that is simple to make, how can you use that? Well, one way of doing it, which is very attractive, is simply to take that small molecule as like a Lego brick and to make it sufficiently clever that it's got bumps and holes in it so that those bricks will automatically assemble if you put them together. That notion of building big molecules from small molecules by specially designed locks and keys, in fact, is the area of supermolecular chemistry.
That was Trevor Raymond, Director of Physical Sciences at Diamond Light Source.